heard what we want to hear, and the call is being recorded, so we're on for this evening. How exciting. Here on election night, November 3rd, 2009. What a great opportunity to be together this evening. Before we get started on our topic, I wanted to just bring to your attention an email that everybody's going to be receiving this evening. And a very special occasion. I've had the privilege for the last 6 years of being a good friend with Kevin Hall. Kevin has been my personal coach for the last 2 years. I was with Kevin a few weeks ago up at Deer Valley when we met with, we have the same agent, literary agent, and his book publisher from HarperCollins, Mary Jo Ellen, and several other wonderful people to talk about the launch of his book. It seemed like that was just yesterday, but I think that was like June or July, and now it's coming. HarperCollins had purchased the book, and they finished all their edits. They went into print this week. The cover is finished, and it's going to be hitting bookstores on January 5th of next year. On Amazon, you can go buy the book right now, pre-order, and it'll be shipped on the 29th of December. This is a very exciting book. I want to just take just a moment so everybody is aware of this. I've watched this book, watched Kevin give birth to this book. It has been an amazing experience. When you study the six qualities and you read his book, it's called Aspire, Discovering Your Purpose Through the Power of Words. Discovering Your Purpose. I love that. Through the power of words, you're going to recognize words like empathy. We have a wonderful opportunity because we're quoted right out of the six qualities in the end of the chapter on empathy, about how we hold our life experiences. Empathy, being on somebody else's path, literally being in their shoes. We talk about stepping into somebody's world. That's the very true definition of the word. We talk about the word inspire a lot, which means to breathe life into someone. Humility, humus. Words like gun shy, which means never make anyone feel small, including yourself. And the list goes on and on. Kevin, as my coach, has put his fingerprints all over this material. You've heard me quote before from scroll number 9 that my procrastination was born of fear, and I've learned this secret, mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. Cor, heart in French, heart of hearts, the depth of a heart that everyone who's got fear can know. That every courageous heart they know has been there. They've had that experience. If you go into the heart of that courageous person and you mine deep down into the heart of their hearts, you'll find that they had to face that fear, and they've learned that to conquer fear, you act without hesitation, and the flutters in their heart will vanish. They know that action will reduce the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity. As we've studied the scrolls together, he has helped me better understand Ogg's very clever and brilliant use of words and the power of those words. For an example, I will tear down their walls of hate and suspicion, which they built around their hearts. In his place, I'll build a bridge so that my love may enter their soul. Oh, some very wonderful and powerful words in these scrolls when we begin to understand them. Well, I've enjoyed this association with Kevin as he's coached me, and he's shared with me these chapters as they've come to life, and these words become so important to me. I remember, and he's asked me to share. The filming crew was here yesterday for a video much like The Secret, on The Secret book. This is for the book on Aspire, about an occasion I had with a coaching client that was in really scary condition, very depressed. And we spent time on the word passion. Passion, it's in the 17th century word, came out of the passion plays, a willingness to suffer for something that we love, a willingness to suffer. We talk now very clearly in the six qualities about how to ignite passion, the very specific activities, the five constructive ways in which we use our mind to ignite passion. Was on the firing line as we were creating these six qualities, bringing these power of words, many of the words which he uses in his book and stories behind these words, to help us bring power and strength to the six qualities. Well, his book is now ready. Bob Proctor just sent a quote in that says that he compares this to Og Mandino and Napoleon Hill. I think this is Og Mandino for the 21st century. because this book does something. If I sound excited about this, I truly am, because I've watched this be molded and molded with an individual who is absolutely void of ego, whose total focus is blessing people's lives, practicing the very principles that we teach of bringing abundance to the lives of others in partnership with a power greater than himself to create this peace. Gosh, I don't want to ramble any more than that. I just want you to know it's out. Well, Kevin and I were talking. Today's Tuesday, so it was yesterday. And I asked for permission to do something. I know that he did a special print run of gift edition books, copies of the book. They're very rare. There's only going to be a few of them. We know that with the testimonies that have come in from Bob Proctor, Stephen Covey, Richard Paul Evans, gosh, the list goes on from all of those individuals. The Times Mirror's kind of reviewers are saying they consider this one of the top five books of the last decade. That's really a powerful statement. Because when you read this book, something magical happens. You find yourself living your own life in the chapters. Even though our stories are a little different than his, he's written it in such a way that we get to live our life. This book really does come to you and help awaken that genius inside of yourself. That genius, real, genuine, authentic. There's another one. The genie inside of you, that's where the root of that word comes from. You know, that genie, that thing that's inside of us can grant our wishes, that genius, when we own that genius, authentic, authos, hectic, being our true self, it wakes up that peace inside of us. It's a really a magical, magical experience to read this book. Well, I talked to Kevin yesterday, and I bought 100 copies of the book yesterday on Amazon to pre-order. You can get them for $16.45, I think, or $16.49 a piece, and they're $24.95 when they come out at the end of December. This is a pre-release offer that Amazon is giving. I went and bought 100 of them, and Kevin, as a gift, gave me 50 of those gift edition copies of the book, autographed, for my children and their spouses and my grandchildren and my siblings and my parents and those people that are really close in our family. Everybody's going to have an autographed gift edition of this book in their library, because I think it's going to be one we're going to cherish. It's just one of those kind of books. Well, I said, Kevin, and I called him back. I said, Kevin, I got an idea. Would you be willing for me to make an offer to everyone in the Og Mandino community that if they go on to Amazon, that for every two books they buy, would you autograph and give them a book? Well, he approved that this morning. So, and there's only like 500 of these left. So, if this is something that would be important to you, get onto Amazon tonight, buy two books, or look for the email that just came from me. There's a link where to buy it. There's a link on our website where you can click on that link. Only thing you pay is the shipping to get the book to you. It's $5.95. Autographed copy of the book will come to you for the cost of the shipping to get it to you. The other two books will come to you in December 29th when they're released. They're not the gift edition version. They're the one that's going into the bookstores. This is a gift edition that you get. And you can give those to your friends, and this is one you're going to want to keep forever. So every two books you buy on Amazon, he's willing, so long as this 500, a little less than 500, supply lasts, for us to be able to ship to you a copy of the book. What an amazing opportunity. A free book. Now, he's been, if anybody's thepowerofwords.net, you know the book is selling, Kevin's been selling, I think, for $20 or $25. So this is a free book. And if you bought it, you paid for shipping, too. So the shipping is all you pay. So again, go to Amazon tonight, as soon as we get off the call, $16.49 a piece, buy two of them. I think there's a free shipping offer at Amazon. So for $33, and then Amazon has a commitment that if they bring the book out at any cheaper price between now and when it's released, they'll give you the lower price and refund your credit card the difference. So it's really cool. Then get on to our website, to the link we just created today, where you can pay the $5.95 with whatever credit card you want to. send you an autographed copy of the gift edition of the book for every two you buy. So if you want to buy 10 of them, he'll send you 5 of them. So just keep that in mind. We don't have a limit on the numbers. We just know that we hit 400 and a few that they're all going to be gone. So if you want to jump on this, take advantage of it. The instructions are in the email. Send Krista at augmandino.com your receipt from Amazon just so we can match up the receipt with your order to verify the purchases, and you'll get the books. This is really a cool option. I'm very excited for Kevin. I know the price he's paid to write this book, and I was just with him blow by blow as Margaret McBride was back in New York going from publisher to publisher a few months ago and earlier this year, and they got into a bidding war, and they actually ended up holding an auction because there were 4 publishers in the end who all wanted it, and they just set up an auction for 24 hours, and the highest bidder would take the project. HarperCollins stepped up and just gave Kevin everything the book was worth. It was just fabulous, and some things that most authors don't get. That's how excited they were in terms of sharing in the profits from the sale of the books. Just marvelous, marvelous deal that he stepped into, and he deserves every bit of it. So I could go on all night just on that one topic. That's not our topic for this evening, but I want everybody to take advantage of this and get this gift edition in their library. It'll be one you'll cherish for years to come, and when this is a New York Times bestseller, you'll be able to smile and know you have one of the autographed versions of the book. Well, we're ready to jump into something that came via an email. I had someone on the call last week who sent an email after and asked a question, and it's just a very powerful question. It's very appropriate for where almost everyone is right now in their business and its economy. I had made the comment about surrendering, of letting go. And the question was, what did you mean by that? What does it mean to surrender? I'm doing everything I think in my power. I'm letting go of my pride. I'm letting go of... What does it mean to let go of in this context? And so I sent an email back to them just a little while ago, and I said, we're going to take this up tonight. I'm going to do my very best to explain to you what it means to surrender, because it's such a key piece of becoming an intentional creator. However, if we misunderstand it, we may surrender the wrong thing. I want to make sure that we understand precisely what this means. So I'm going to walk through it step by step for you and do my very best to explain my understanding of what surrender means, and then open this up to any questions, because this is a tough piece. 97% of you on the phone tonight have thought processes in two specific areas. One is called analytical. It's on the left-hand side of your assessment, ninth measurement down. On the right-hand side, goal-oriented, ninth measurement down. These two thought processes in most of your assessments are very active. One or both, probably orange or red in most instances, 97% of the time, both orange or red. It just says our minds are going all of the time, very, very, very active minds. And some of the risks associated with this very active mind, we've talked about fantasy before. We're not going there tonight. We're going to talk about order and structure and discipline and letting go and what we're letting go to. What are we surrendering to? Because we're not just letting go. We're letting go of that which is keeping us from. And it's the from that we want to understand as much as the letting go. So that's where we're headed tonight. And any comments before we go any further? Are we doing okay so far? Is everybody okay?
Yep.
Okay, well, here we go. There is a tendency. There's one other measurement. It's called discipline on the left-hand side. It's the third measurement down. And it is 9% of the time out of balance. So if you've got your assessment, just take a look at that one as well. Disciplined, third measurement down on the left-hand side. There is in this thought process something that is so unique. Disciplined, analytical, goal-oriented, all have the same characteristic. These three thought processes are dualistic. So just write that down, dualistic. Dualistic means that they process in all or nothing, black or white. You might even hear yourself, especially when you're getting frustrated, overwhelmed. You know, I'm late, so why go at all? If I can't do it perfectly, why start? It's that all or nothing. And these kinds of thought processes, these systemic thought processes, start getting our body involved in the process, release of cortisol. So we actually feel these thought processes. We feel them. That's why they feel like they're us. We're so attached to these thought processes, and they can be terribly destructive. But we feel them. They're a part of us. And so we're getting attached to them, and they're dualistic, all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, life or death, dualistic in nature. That's why we crush people, not meaning to crush people. We just feel really strongly about an idea. And so we hold our ground, not knowing that 95% of the time, another person is attached to their idea. Their self-esteem is attached to their idea, 95% of the time. They can't separate the two. So if we need to be right about our idea, and we summarily dismiss their idea, or don't honor their idea, or validate their idea, it's as if we're not validating them, as if we're not honoring them, as if we're saying, stupid idea, stupid person, bad idea, bad person, because they're inextricably connected. If your hand's free, just take your hands and intertwine your fingers and squeeze them together. Just kind of squeeze them really hard so your knuckles hurt. I mean, that's how tightly woven together self-esteem is to ideas in 95% of the people we come in contact with. And the same is true for us. That's why we so vehemently fight, and we can feel the thought process. We feel it in our body, and we are attached to it. And little do we know that part of the reason why we're unwilling to step back from it is that our self-worth is on the line. Our self-worth is on the line. We don't want to hear it either. Because if they don't like our idea, they don't like us. They think it's a stupid idea. They think I'm stupid. We're absolutely attached to our ideas as if they are ourselves. This is a key piece of when we start to let go of, because when I say surrender, we're surrendering. This would be an example. I feel the need to be right about this. What would happen if I let that go? I surrendered to the possibilities of something different. I'm going to give you a technique right now, something I'd like you to do this week. And you can find this in even greater detail in the section, quality number 4, discipline and structure. I want you to consciously, I'm very conscious right now in my own business and a couple of things we're doing in some of our vertical markets, I can feel this very strain. When we're talking to someone, someone else has an idea, I want you to step back for a moment. I want you to step back. I want you to play with this concept just for a moment. I'm going to listen to their idea and see if I can find something good in it. I'm going to step back and listen to their idea and see if I can find something good in it. Now, a systemic thought is we agree or we disagree. All or nothing, win or lose, right or wrong, agree or disagree. We discover that if we approach this in terms of them being a human being, we don't have to agree with the idea to find something good in it. What we are surrendering in this case is our systemic need to agree or disagree. We're not surrendering our power. We're not surrendering our idea. We're not surrendering our strength or independence. We are simply surrendering the need for agree or disagree. We're going to find good in the idea. Now, so we let go of the systemic thought, and that systemic thought has got chemicals in our body and is screaming in our ears, don't do it. They'll think you agree with them and you won't get your way. Just listen for it. You'll just hear it screaming. But you're stepping back now. Agape love, a heightened level of awareness. You're seeing a human being here and not an idea. A human being who most likely has an idea attached to their self-worth. And what's more valuable, the idea or the human being? That's what our assessment's based on. It's based on mathematical. So if a human being is more valuable than an idea, we put the human being first, and we look at the human being and say, what do we know from connecting with people? We know this person has a wall of resistance. We know that we can throw up on the wall, but that's not going to do any good. We know that we can listen for doors and step into their world. And the door they're giving us right now is their idea. Their idea. Can we listen to this idea and find something good in it? Not so that we can be proven wrong. Not so that we are accused of agreeing with them. So that they can feel validated as a human being. Because as soon as they are validated, we find something good. You know, what I like best about your idea is, as soon as those words are spoken and we tell them what it is, they feel valued as a human being. Because remember, their idea is tied to their self-worth. And all of a sudden, walls of resistance can start coming down and a conversation can ensue. You know, if we took that idea and we added this to it, what would you think? And all of a sudden there's conversation and compromise that was not present a few minutes earlier because it was all about agree, disagree, right, wrong, win, lose, all, nothing, life, death. We've taken that piece out of the equation and look for good in the idea without having to agree with the entire idea. I want you to toy with this week. Just print these words in your mind. What I like best about your idea is. And I, more than anyone on this phone, know how tough this one can be. This can be a tough one, especially when you feel strongly about an idea. What I like best about your idea is. However, I'm going to tell you something. Personally. Not personally, but personal. It is personal. When I've had the courage to do this, it doesn't happen all the time. I want to do it more often. It's part of the reason why we're talking about it tonight. This is for me as much as it is for you. When I find good in another person's idea, something starts to shift. It's almost imperceptible at first, and all of a sudden, it's like this cloud dissipates. And when the sunshine comes out and we can see, as we find one good thing in their idea, all of a sudden there's another one and another one. I think I wrote about this in, it's like avocado trees. You know, if you've ever seen an avocado tree and you get underneath an avocado tree, you can't see any avocados. But you spot one and you'll see 100 of them. They're all there. You just can't see them because we just aren't focused on the avocados. We're focused on the green leaves and all the distractions. Here, when we're looking for a good in someone's idea, we find it. We find one avocado, one good idea. One good thing in their idea, we start to find others and others and others and others. And all of a sudden, we have more courage to now not just surrender the systemic, but even surrender our idea. It may, in fact, not be the best. It may have only been the best based on what we know or knew. And based on an all-or-nothing, agree-disagree approach to problem-solving. We may find out that that person has some really brilliant ideas. So the very first thing I want you to do this week, as you're going out to talk to prospects and family relationships or business partners, when someone starts to share an idea, don't cut them off. I want you to be able to listen to them carefully, consciously step back. We've got some noise in the background. If someone would just press star 6, please. Matter of fact, why don't we just have everybody do that, and then if you want to come off to comment, you can press star 6 one more time. Thank you. That'll just keep the call really quiet and clean, especially since we're recording it for those who can't be with us tonight. So I want you to look for the good in the idea, and what will assist us is we want to see a human being. A human being who's got ideas and got self-worth. And we want to protect that self-worth as best we can. And we know that one of the ways we can, a high level of intrinsic validation, is looking for good in their idea. We don't have to agree, because this isn't agree-disagree. That's what we're surrendering. Now, what we are stepping into is something higher and more valuable, valuing the human being. The end result is we might actually be opened up to possibilities we did not see. Now, there's no shame in that. However, a systemic thought process will tell you that you're giving up, you're losing, you're a loser. Chemicals coursing through our body. You can't give up your idea, because if you did, you would be worthless. All nothing win lose applies to your own self-esteem. Well, as your self-esteem is healing, and we've spent several weeks on that, as your self-esteem begins to heal, you become more real and more genuine and more authentic. You're less and less threatened by giving up an idea and going, you know, I hadn't seen that before. So that's the first thing for this week. So in terms of surrender, here we're talking about surrendering the need for agree-disagree and finding good in somebody's idea. Second activity I want you to engage in this week. And you want to make sure you're ready for this one. Because if your self-esteem is challenged, you want to be careful, especially the person you select. But if you can, you're going to want to find someone in your life, if you've had this challenge. And many with these measurements have had this challenge. If we get strongly opinionated about our ideas, and either we're always being hurt or we're defensive. We fight back, we push back, whether it's overt or whether it's a little bit more covert. Do we do it like, do we just start cutting off privileges in a person's life or something? We get back at them, passive-aggressive behavior. Or we get into arguments about right and wrong. I tell you right now, in the work that we've done with couples, and we've had 40 couples come to our cabin in the last 2 years, 40 couples, been marvelous to come up and work on their marriages. And we're so excited. I'm working with my management team and putting together some new couples retreats for 2010 so we can do this with more people. The absolute favorite activity of Ramon and me. One thing we do know is that the number one killer of a marriage is someone's need to be right. And if both parties need to be right, it is just death on wheels. It's hard to have peace in a home. Peace of mind when it is a competitive right-wrong battle in a relationship. Well, if you have been one of those people, you've either been the one who needed to be right or you're in a relationship like that, the next thing I want you to do is surrender to the possibility of discovering the impact this has on another person. I want you to select someone who has been most adversely impacted by your need to be right. Could be a coworker, could be a spouse or a committed companion, could be a brother, sister, parent, sibling. Just think in your mind who that could be. If you're saying, well, I don't need to be right, you may want to go through the exercises to see what happens. Just pick somebody. Especially if you've been having an argument with them or it's been difficult to connect with them. And you might say, well, that's their problem. They need to be right. Might be. Might be. But what you want to discover is when these systemic thought processes are present in your life, what impact is it having on other people's experiences? We were deep in this conversation today with a good friend. Because sometimes we are oblivious to the impact this is having on other people. It's just so part of our nature we don't even know. Here's the exercise. Pick the person. Call call them or see them if you see them on a regular basis. Ask for a time to meet where it's quiet and you've got a little bit of time to talk. You want to have an experience with them. If you need to, share with them that you're being coached and you discovered a couple thought processes that are very interesting and you wanted to find out their experience of you when these thought processes are in control. Whatever it takes, get the appointment. When you sit down with them, I would like you to share with them that you took an assessment that measured your thought processes. And there are one or two or three of those thought processes that suggest that there are times when you can be very, when I can be very opinionated and need to be right. Now, they may be chuckling by now. Don't take any of that offense. Just go with it. This is a chance for you to step back and really be present for them, because this isn't about you being hurt by them. This is about you finding out what impact you've had on them. What damage has been created by you showing up that way? And you say, this is what you say, what has it been like to be in a relationship with someone who always needs to be right? Now, I think I shared this once. We talked about this topic many, many, many weeks ago. And I think I shared an experience that one of the coaching clients that sat down with her person and said, what's it like to be in a relationship with someone who is always right? She didn't get a great response. And she thought, well, I said, you made a point. It's not about what's it like to be in a relationship with someone who's always right. It's always someone who always thinks they're right. Make sure that distinction is made. And then you may have to, depending on your relationship, encourage them to be honest. You absolutely want them to be honest with you. You want to know the impact these thought processes have been having on them when I allow these thought processes to control my life. Now, this is when you start to bite your tongue. No matter what is said, you're just going to listen. Just listen and listen. You're only allowed to say two things in this exercise. One is, tell me more about that. So write that down. Tell me more about that. And the other is there anything else you'd like to share? And you say that with kindness. Is there anything else you'd like to share? And just listen. Now, remember, your need to be right is tied to your self-esteem. Know that going in. And be conscious that no matter what is said, you're not going to let it hurt you. Because this isn't about you getting hurt. Again, this is about finding out the impact these thought processes are having on this person. And when they're done, you simply thank them and tell them you'll be working on that. That's it. End of conversation. Now, don't say, now I'd like to do that with you. Let me tell you why. What happens when you think you need to be right. Or you don't need to, don't trade places. We don't want to do that. We just want to see a couple of things. When this exercise is over, I want you to become very aware of how hard it is to let go of anything they've said that you didn't believe was accurate. For an example, they might say, last Thursday when you did this or when you said this, and you're going to want to say, I didn't say that. That's not what I said. At least I thought that's not what I meant. You misunderstood what I was trying to say. Well, in this exercise, you don't respond. At the end or ever. So just write down on your notes there, 24 to 48 hours. Because you're going to want to make you absolutely sure that 24 hours later you don't find yourself in the kitchen wrapping your arms around them, if it's your companion, for an example, and saying, you know, I really appreciate that conversation last night. That was so valuable what you shared with me. I thank you for being honest with me. You know, there was just one thing that bothered me. You know, you said this thing about Thursday night, and I just felt so bad that you've been carrying that all this time, because that's not what I meant. What I meant was, what I said was, and all we're doing is going back and trying to be right. The need to be right about what we said. The need to be right about what's going on. We want to, in this exercise, surrender the need to be right. Like before, we surrendered the need to agree or disagree. Here we're surrendering the need to be right. I want you to feel, if you'll take this exercise on, you'll have an amazing experience. That the emails I've received from coaching clients when they do this exercise just almost bring you to tears. I think I've shared this once. We had a gentleman in a Chicago meeting where I was speaking get up in front of a group and say that he did this exercise and found out his wife was getting ready to leave him. And had he have not done this exercise, she may have left. Oh, what a tragedy. To realize how these thought processes can control our lives. So when you do it, you become very aware of how these thought processes want you to hang on to and stew and stew and stew and stew. We're going to let go of the need to be right. And the second thing we're going to let go of the need to obsessively think about it. So when I said last week, I want you to surrender, can you start to feel what I was talking about? I want you to surrender agree, disagree. I want you to surrender the need to be right. I want you to surrender the need to obsessively stew over an offense or a situation or an anxiety about something that's coming, as Og said, torment myself over things that may never come to pass. That's what we want you to surrender. Because when you surrender these things, you can finally start showing up for people. You can finally go into creation. Because all the time we spend, I want you to see how much time you'd spend stewing. Because if they say something in this exercise and you find yourself the next day still thinking about it, you now know, absolutely know, that that's what happens in your life. You get that credit card statement that says you're right at your max and you just can't get it off your mind for 3 days, and every second you spend on it robs you of constructive time in your mind, creating and igniting passion. It is killing your business. It is killing your relationships when we can't let go of and surrender the need to be right, the need to obsessively think, the need to agree, disagree. Everybody okay so far? Any questions before we continue? Let's add one more piece. Many of you grew up in relationships. And I think it's wonderful to say, perhaps my home was dysfunctional. I've said this before on this call, that there is some very strong evidence that between 70 and 80% of the homes in this country are dysfunctional. That's a lot. That means your chances of coming out okay are pretty slim. And it's incumbent on us to create a new generation. Whether we're grandparents, parents, don't have children, have nieces and nephews, it's incumbent on us to create a new generation of functionality. So we have this craziness we grew up in. The risk, one of the greatest risks, when Og talks about, I become a slave to these accumulated habits, and they threaten to imprison my future. Wow, what a beautiful poetic way of saying, in my childhood or in a relationship that I was in, somebody absolutely attempted to control me. They so controlled, so frustrated, that I have created a neural pathway that anytime someone gives me direction or instruction, especially if it feels like they're correcting me or teaching me, my initial reaction is to resist because of that knee-jerk reaction from childhood. Now, you may pause for a moment. Let's just pause. Let's step back. What does this have to do with business? What does this have to do with success in your life? It has everything to do with it. Because if your mind is focused on being creative and igniting passion and taking action, there's one thing that's happening in your life. If you're over here dealing with a thought process, whether it's justifiable or not, if it's causing you to resist or resent when someone is trying to teach you or help you improve your life, you are in resistance and rebellion, and these thought processes are robbing you from growing. So just take a look at the assessment, particularly the section on discipline. That's the first one, the third one down on the left-hand side. And then you're going to want to go down to teachable. Take a look at teachable. Teachable is like the seventh one down. Teachable is a measurement that says what happens when someone tries to use their positional authority to force you to do something you don't want to do. Like, I'm the boss, that's why you're going to do it. I'm the husband, I'm in control of the family, do it. I'm the father, do it. That voice that is sometimes just buried deep inside our head. So just ponder this. Has there been voices in the past from authority figures that are now become my voice of resistance, so that anytime anyone tries to teach me or instruct me, I immediately am, who in the hell do you think you are? Don't you think I know that? I mean, what are you trying to tell? You don't have the authority to tell me that. All that kind of energy is this systemic all-nothing, win-lose, right-wrong energy that will have us throw out the very principles and instruction that will bless our lives just because of the way the messenger delivers the message. So tonight I'm asking you to surrender to and give up that resistant thought process, even though the messenger may deliver it inappropriately. Listen for messages, not tone of voice in the messenger. Because we can all deliver messages poorly. I know I have. And it's really hard when someone's dealing with this thought process to scrape through all of that and still hear the meat in the message, the importance in the message, because we're so resistant based on the way the messenger is delivering the message. So that's another thing I would ask you to surrender from. Surrender from being offended by the messenger. Now, if you're starting to catch the picture, everything about intentional creation is on the other side of the door. So long as we are agree-disagree, so long as we are right or wrong, so long as we're obsessively thinking and tormenting ourselves, so long as we're hanging on to that rebelliousness and resistance to authority, we will not walk through the door. The door on the other side is not surrender, as in, okay, whatever you do to me is okay. That's not the surrender we're talking about. That surrender to a higher power is basically saying, I will not let these tethers that I just described to you hold me back from living at daily the principles that will create success in my life. I will not only surrender those tethers that are holding me back, I will then, free of them, embrace the principles and engage in life and connect with people and create value in everything I do and contribute to the world. But I can't get to even embrace the principles and engage in life so long as I'm unwilling to surrender these tethers. Is this getting clearer for us? I do hope so. We're starting to see this isn't about becoming a mamsy-bamsy. This isn't about giving up your strength and independence. This is actually about taking back control of your life instead of having these thoughts control your life. Because these thoughts will, when it comes time to wake in the morning and to say to yourself, I'm in charge today, in partnership with the power that governs abundance. For me, that would be God. I'm in partnership with God in bringing abundance to the lives of others. This is going to be intentionally created today. I'm not going to be obsessively thinking about things that are in the future or things that have happened in the past. I'm not going to get into agree, disagree. I'm not going to get into right, wrong. I'm not going to be resisting authority. I'm a sponge. I'm here to learn. I'm here to create. That's who I am this morning. Just finished reading my scroll. I'm now picking those things that are most important for me to do today, those power sessions that we've talked about. I'm showing up present in the now. My thought processes are all about mental rehearsal. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And every time I'm tempted to go over into torment and frustration or obsession or resistance or anger, agree, disagree, right, wrong, I say, no, not today. I'm staying in creation. And as I stay there, and I explore ideas and I seek inspiration about if there's anyone I can serve, as we said last week, I and my uniqueness can serve, then I will serve them. As I begin this mental process, I get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems which I cannot get so long as I'm hanging on to these tethers. They are so antithetical, which is just the absolute opposite. They cannot be farther away. Polar opposites, right, wrong, win, lose. They're way over there, so far out of the way in relationship to the principles that govern success. And we still, most of us, still cling to them. Still cling to them. So as we surrender them, we begin to use our mind constructively. We get inspired ideas. It ignites our passion, drives our focus, discipline, effort, and action. We're focused on others. We're not fearful to talk to them because it's not about us. We're here to serve them in our uniqueness. We're bringing our life experiences to the table to serve them. And we're starting to find joy in the journey. Our self-esteem is healing. And all of a sudden, we're in a whole different space because we had the courage to open the door and walk through to freedom. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us, when we hear the words, such as obedience and law and order and discipline and structure, policy, procedure, mandate, requirement. It's a requirement you do this. Congruence, commitment. We feel coerced and manipulated. We feel restricted and confined, limited and controlled. My invitation to you tonight is surrender that. Surrender those pieces. Because this is not about letting go of responsibility or letting go of doing the work or letting go of creating in our mind. This is finally freeing ourselves up to do those very things. That's what we want to surrender. Those things that keep us from being there. I hope this will help all of us better understand what it means to surrender, to let go. Some of us are hanging on to some things. We're hanging on to some anger, some bitterness. I think I shared several weeks ago that I climbed off the stage in Texas a number of years ago, and I was telling my story of all woe, which, you know, I've shared in the six qualities in appropriate places. How we lost all these millions of dollars and spent 10 years paying back $1 million. And I was kind of fresh out of that experience when I was talking in Texas. And it was still on my mind, and the loss of that housekeeper and gardener and bus and Ferrari and, you know, dream home and on and on and on and on. And having to rebuild and, just woe is me and the victimness about that. I walked off the stage and I found myself ill. I was sick of hearing it. What are you sick of hearing? What do you keep hanging on to? Is there someone that has offended you that you just can't let go? So long as you do, you won't be in creation. Are you hanging on to a past business loss? Someone ripped you off. Someone had you get into an investment. Some of you might have bought into an idea. It cost a lot of money, and maybe you even borrowed the money to do it, and you still owe the money. So long as you hang on to it, you can't be in creation. Were you in a relationship where someone cheated, or someone was unfaithful, someone was unkind, someone embarrassed you? So long as you hang on to that, you can't be in creation. You get to be right, or you get to be rich. So long as you hang on to your ideas, you can't be in creation. So long as you hang on to agree, disagree, you can't be in creation. You want to get in creation as quickly as you can. Immerse yourself in it, because this is where your business will grow. This is where the ideas will come for where to market. You see, entrepreneurial people who are in creation don't need to have anybody give them a script. Don't need to tell them where to market. They just need to get out of their way, because they are self-directed, driven by their own moral authority, doing right things for the right reasons in partnership with the power greater than themselves and bringing abundance to the lives of someone else. They are acting on inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. They don't need anything else. They don't need, anytime someone says, well, I don't understand what to do. The only reason why we don't understand what to do is we haven't let go of those things we're talking about tonight and surrendering them. Because I've got one last one for you. It's letting go of confusion. Surrendering the confusion. I fear. There are some of you on the call tonight. Perhaps. Who have used confusion as an excuse for being non-productive, and you've done so long enough. The only reason confusion reigns is resistance to surrender. Because if I surrendered and embraced and engaged, I would be held responsible. Now, don't be offended by this at all. This is tough stuff to speak. But if you've been in resistance, you go into confusion, I don't know what to do, and this is overwhelm. If you go into that space, just know that you're creating it yourself. Entrepreneurs don't go into confusion. Oh, they may not have clarity, but they simply focus on getting it. They go and mentally rehearse. They seek inspiration. They explore. They plan. They goal set until the inspired idea comes. But they never in a million years will select confusion. Confusion is what happens on this other side of the fence when we're in resistance, when we won't let go. If you're hanging on to confusion, make the decision tonight. And you might say, well, what do I do, Dave? If I let it go, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Connect with that power that governs abundance. Make the decision to bless the lives of others. Ask yourself, if there's anyone I can serve, ask that power, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them and serve somebody. Focus on somebody else's needs. Stay in mental creation. What can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? And stay there till you get the answer. And when it comes, it'll ignite your passion and drive your action. You won't want to be confused. You'll see confusion as one of the greatest anchors to productivity and creation. When you choose confusion and overwhelm, it is simply because the craziness and resistance and the energy that is created due to the chemicals being released in your body have debilitated you to a point that you cannot stand up and be equal to the opportunity. Oh, what a challenge when Og says in Scroll 10, I seek not gold or garments or even opportunities equal to my ability. Instead, I seek to acquire ability equal to my opportunities. My promise to you is this: as you go into creation and you let go of these tethers, you will begin, as you acquire more ability to connect with the power, focus on the needs of others, mentally create and execute, you'll have opportunities put on your path that will almost be unspeakable. I was in the middle of one this afternoon. We were in the recording studio working on the New Life Academy Alcohol Recovery Online Program. And we had some amazing, they had to be spiritual experiences, just spontaneous things that happened while we were recording some of the audio today. And sitting back and saying, oh my goodness, I invite all of you to watch what we create with this. This is going to be something special. And not unlike what you can create when you choose to surrender and let go of these tethers and embrace these principles and begin to engage in life, connecting with people and creating value. I tell you with all of my strength, these principles, as we discussed last week, work. But they won't work until you surrender. Well, we've got just about, only like 3 minutes. My goodness, where'd the time go tonight? We've got 3 or 4 minutes. Does anybody have a question or comment they would like to make before we close the session?
Hey, Dave, this is very odd. I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome. We had one other person speak. What was it, please?
I wanted to say this was awesome. I can definitely see how to put it to use and changing my life and therefore changing others.
Wonderful. Have fun with these two exercises. Finding good in somebody's idea, what I like best about your idea is, and what's it been like to be in a relationship for ever how long it's been with someone who always needs to be right. Have some fun with this. This could be a great experience. Drop me an email, dave@ogbandino.com. Send it to me when you do these exercises. Send me just a quick email what happens, especially on the second one, and especially if you have a companion or someone close in your life that you've been having a battle with. You watch the healing begin when you can step back and let somebody else have that space and acknowledge that that might be happening in your life.